The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
According to Peter King, the Rams are one of three teams that had any legitimate interest in Peters. His behavior had become erratic, apparently, capped by the Week 13 meltdown in the Meadowlands. If you're the Chiefs, you got three really good seasons out of the guy. Can you pick up a second rounder? Maybe it's not so bad.
If Marcus Peters is like a school shooter and he's going to show up and kill his team, that's a bad move. Otherwise, I don't got a problem with it. I think they can get something out of him. The guy's a player. That's what I worry about. Can you play? Well, I'm going to the fight. Tickets aren't cheap, but you would think a convenience fee would be something like 10 bucks a ticket. The more you pay for your tickets, the more the convenience fee is. For me to have the convenience of buying my tickets online, it's significantly more than the convenience of someone else buying for nosebleeds.
Convenience fee is very much like dynamic pricing. It's just a term that makes it sound better than, hey, we're bending you over and greasing you.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, well, you probably shouldn't have heard part of that again, but oh well. We welcome in our SportsMap 94.1 listeners. You can catch all of that on podcastarena.com. I'm going to give something away just because we have a new audience. A four-pack of tickets to Sam Houston Race Park. You can join me in the special ESPN section Saturday, March 3rd from 6 until 8. They've also got special suite packages starting at just $2.99, and it comes with food and beverages. Get all the info and tickets at shrp.com. Let's take caller 10. See you at the track on Saturday night. So, and in the interest of trying to keep NFL talk going, Larry Brown did the 15 most overrated NFL players last season. I want to see which ones you agree with.
Okay. Most overrated what now?
The most overrated players from last season. Okay. And I will just tell you this. There's a certain team in Texas that is well represented.
Okay.
And it may not be what you think.
Okay.
Number 15 on their list, Eli Manning.
I don't think anybody rates Eli Manning as like a top-end guy anymore.
And he lost his job. His Pro Football Focus grade of 75.5. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm going to go not overrated, though. Because I think,
like we all expect him to suck.
His historical reference may be overrated, but like, no one expects Eli Manning to be good anymore. So, no, I'm going to go not overrated.
All right, here's one that should be interesting, because I think we'll disagree. Number 14, Joe Mixon, Bengals.
He wasn't great.
Yeah,
he was a rookie running back.
Yeah, but he was also very highly touted by a lot of people, including yourself. 913 yards from scrimmage, good. Four touchdowns, 3.5 yards per carry, not good. Three fumbles, awful. So four touchdowns to three fumbles.
Yeah, that's not good.
So just depends on where you rated him. He did about what I thought he would do, so I won't say overrated.
Well, he basically put Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill on the bench, which is more than a lot of people thought he would do.
Yeah, was that the right call?
Yes. Did you see those other two guys running last year?
He wasn't very good either, though. I think that was a team-wide problem. So, but I think he's not overrated because my expectations were exactly that. He'd fumble three times, he'd get four touchdowns, and he'd average 3.5 yards.
All right.
So, number 13, Dak Prescott.
I got no problem with that. I told you guys last year, even when he was good, 2 years ago when he was good, I said, don't expect it to keep going like this. This is going to happen. It's going to, because I knew when, and this is why I worry about Deshaun Watson's second season. because I felt a lot about Dak the way I felt about Deshaun. Like, I think he could be good long term, but I didn't think he was ready to start right away. And in both cases, I looked like I was a dumb because they got out on the field and they looked awesome. But typically, those guys, the league adjusts to them, and then it's they go through a rough patch.
And that's what happened.
Dak definitely went through a rough patch last year, especially the second half of last year.
And I think Deshaun's pedigree is so much better that I think he'll go through some rough patches, but I don't think it'll be like that. We'll see. I could be wrong. Number 12, and I don't know if this is fair because he's 172 years old, Adrian Peterson.
That's not fair. Yeah, he's no longer, you know, AD. He's not the man that he once was, but he's still a, I mean, he's a serviceable guy in the right situation. But if you're looking for a three down back who's going to get you 4 yards per, that ain't him anymore.
Number 11, Darren Lee of the Jets.
I mean, I guess when you think about him being a first rounder and he's almost like,
I don't think it's fair that he's on there. I'll be honest with you. For a first-round guy.
Who made this list? Is it like Pro Football Focus
no,
or something?
No, it's Larry Brown Sports.
Okay, because I was going to say, a lot of these guys will just use their Pro Football Focus scores and say, okay, well, he wasn't that good.
Yeah, that's why he has Alec Ogletree on the list at number 10 also. See, I thought he was.
I think that dude was an all-pro.
2016, yeah.
So Alec Ogletree is not an all-pro in
yeah.
And, you know, that's anybody who, how long has he been in the league? 4 years? He's already been an all-pro. That dude's not overrated.
Number 9, Cam Newton.
Boy, I don't think I have a problem with this one.
I didn't think you would.
Cam Newton is a guy who I always feel, you know, people want to force him into that top tier of quarterback conversation. And I just think mentally he's not there. I think the dude is childish. I think that he's, I think that that's his biggest issue. He's mentally weak, and that's all the sideline tantrums and press conference gaffes and things like that. That just, you would never see a top level guy doing that. It just doesn't happen.
Number 8, Evan Engram, tight end, New York Giants. First round pick in 2017.
Yeah, he does kind of suck, man.
I'm not ready to give up on him, but yeah, he was bad.
Now, to be fair, every receiver on the Giants got hurt last year, so they were basically like, hey, you're our offense now. That ain't going to work out well if you're a tight end.
No.
You know, give him some healthy Odell Beckham maybe, but I can't disagree with that.
Number 7, DeSean Jackson, Tampa.
I've always thought he's overrated.
I thought he would have a better season, but I thought all the Bucs would. And yeah, I thought he would give them an element that they're missing, but they're still missing it. Number 6, Terrell Pryor. 20 catches for 240 yards and a touchdown, and he had over 1,000 yards with the Browns a year before.
And he didn't do like I don't know how many games he played, but I feel like he missed a lot of games. It was definitely a big disappointment relative to what he did 2 years ago. So, yeah, I guess you could call him overrated last year.
And I'll also say that there's a lot of guys that were first-round picks that are on this list that I'm not sure is fair yet, like Solomon Thomas.
Dude, it's too early to tell, man. Yeah. I mean, that's a high draft pick, but he hasn't put it together yet, but, I mean, come on.
And they're only based on last season, but, again, because they have Taco Charlton fourth, and I mean...
That's not fair either.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys, I mean, they're transitioning to the league, man. That's not easy.
Number 3, Jay Ajayi. 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns in 2016. Boy, he was pretty good once he got to the Eagles, though.
Yeah, the Eagles, the way they use backs... They had like a three-man rotation, and he was just one of the three. If you were looking at him as a feature back like Miami was...
Yes, disappointing.
But what he did in Philadelphia, I don't think Philadelphia fans disappointed him.
Number 2, yet another Cowboy on the list, Dez Bryant.
I figured he was coming. Yeah, I have to agree with this now. Dez, to me, is... he's still obviously a brand-name receiver... But he's not in that top five conversation, in my thoughts. So
you know what? This reminds me of DeAndre Hopkins' season, not last year, but the year before.
Yeah.
Where you just look up and you go,
He didn't have anything working for him.
No. And
But if I'm not mistaken, Dez has had a couple years like this now.
Yeah, and he's got a lot more offensive talent around him.
Yeah.
So I can't really argue with that. Number one, DeVante Parker, the Dolphins.
Okay. DeVante Parker is, if I'm not mistaken, he is, like, in the last 3 or 4 years, he's caught the most passes in the NFL. But it's all dink, 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 dunk. I mean, there is nothing downfield to that dude.
We only caught 57 last year.
Oh, maybe so. I'm thinking of Jarvis Landry.
Yeah,
you're thinking
of Jarvis Landry.
All that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The Dolphins just don't go down the field. And so unless you're like a down-the-field game-breaking receiver, I can't look at you as a number one. And he's their number one, right?
Well, Landry is, yeah. Not we're talking about Parker.
Well, I'm talking about Parker. Well, Landry's a free agent. He's not going to be there anymore. Parker's their number one now.
Now he is, yeah.
I don't know.
He was first-round pick 2015, and he's had 3 years where he just hasn't been good.
I don't know. I might say that Dez is more overrated than DeVante Parker because Dez is rated so much higher.
Well, and he had some success. Parker is a draft pick who hasn't panned out.
Right. But there's a thousand of those.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, okay, this guy was supposed to be great, I don't know. When they drafted him, I thought, interesting pick. Maybe he'll be okay. So I don't think I'd put him over. I would have Bryant number one on the list. I would have Pryor number two and Jackson number three. I would not have any of the rookies because, yeah.
But I guess, like, with Terrell Pryor, he had a good year, but did anybody...
No, he didn't have a good year.
Or, no, he had a good year 2 years ago,
Two years ago, yeah.
But did anybody say, oh, well, Terrell Pryor is suddenly one of the best players in the league?
I think people thought, hey, man, this guy is, you know, he's learned receiver. He's going to be pretty good.
Because, like, to me, Dez is the easiest guy to say the most over... Like, Dez, Cam Newton, Dak Prescott, these are guys because they're considered to be so elite.
I think you could throw Eli on that list too, though. I mean,
I don't hear anybody tell me that Eli's even like remotely in the conversation amongst the best quarterbacks in the league anymore.
No, but
like Eli Manning doesn't get drafted in fantasy drafts anymore.
No, but that he should be better than he is at this stage of his career. He still should be an effective quarterback, and he's not.
Well,
you know what? You know
well, the one thing I'll defend Eli on is he's got a garbage offensive line. They have no running game, and everybody on that receiving core got hurt last year. I mean, I don't think he's...
I'd still like to see a little bit more production.
Yeah, listen, I don't think he's great, but I also don't expect much of him at this point. He's, what, 37, 38 years old?
I'll throw one more name on that list, Joe Flacco.
That's fair at this point, but
especially
I think...
Especially based on last season, which is what this is based on.
Although, I think like Joe Flacco is one of those guys that people were so... careful about putting him up in that upper tier of guys.
We sure paid him like he was.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, if you're talking about most overpaid guys, he's in that conversation. But overrated, like amongst fans, I don't think most people ever thought Joe Flacco was like a top tier guy, unless you're a Raven fan.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think a lot of people, especially after that Super Bowl run, put him up there in that tier with Ben Roethlisberger and at the time Eli and. I don't think he's ever lived up to that since.
Is he in the Nick Foles tier?
Well, Nick Foles, yeah, maybe. I think so.
Yeah.
But I don't know. People think of Nick Foles as overrated. I think people thought he overachieved in the playoffs.
I think so, too. But I think a lot of people thought about that about Joe Flacco, too. He just got a big, giant pile of money at the end of it.
Yeah, and he was been the starter there for years and not like Foles who got thrown into it.
Right.
The starter got hurt.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about dirt-free carpet cleaning. They've got their 35% off sale going right now. If you've been putting off cleaning your carpets, don't wait. Now's the time. 35% off any cleaning service with dirt-free's 35% off sale. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373. Go chemical-free with dirt-free. Nobody deep cleans like dirt-free carpet. Satisfaction is guaranteed. They'll do the worst spot on your floor. You don't like it? You don't pay. Simple as that. They'll leave. They'll pack up and leave. Your carpets are fresh, deep cleaned, without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing it for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, tile and wood floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. And right now, you tell me that you heard about it here, You get 35% off any cleaning service, and they're going to throw in a free speed dry with the carpet cleaning. That's $100 value. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet.
You got a job, is what the people say. If I could win the lotto, I would finally break away. Living out the dreams of a lighter, brighter day. Solving world peace and collecting fat pay. But if you've been there, you know my cubicle ain't sunny. Red taped up. Promoting bloated dummies. Tomorrow's sick day. Staying home, keep us safe.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I'm Glenn Davis. Join me tonight for all things soccer, the world's game. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, 7 to 9 p.m.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hello, college basketball for you.
I like that.
The NIT is going to have four rules modifications, which is a good place to use this for a test.
Okay.
See what you think of these. The three-point line will be extended by approximately 1 foot, 8 inches to the same distance used by FIBA. For international competition.
I don't have a problem with that.
The free throw lane will be widened from 12 to 16 feet, consistent with the width used by the NBA.
I don't have a problem with that. I think the more they can change the dimensions to what the NBA is, the better the game will be. They've got like the three-point shooting in college basketball. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's no big deal. Like, I could go out there and shoot 50% from three. But there's too often that you see
teams. If nobody's guarding you, you probably could.
There's too often you see teams who shoot 50, 60% from three. And it's like, how's that even happen? You realize it's not very far. I mean, it's not a crazy shot. To me, it's not worth 3 points. They should go to NBA three line.
Well, this is a step in that direction. The games will be divided into four 10-minute quarters as opposed to two 20-minute halves. Teams will shoot two free throws beginning with the fifth foul of each quarter.
I don't like that.
Really?
I want them to stick with the halves just for the foul purposes and stuff like that. I like that better.
I don't know if it's going to matter too much, frankly. I mean, I think a first quarter is, I don't know. I don't know. I at least that, again, that's an NBA type rule. The shot clock will reset to 20 seconds after an offensive rebound instead of the full 30.
I like that.
Let's speed the game up.
Yeah, I wish they would just go to a 24-second clock and make just like the NBA does. But, yeah, I do like that. It will speed the game up. That's good.
So, there you go. That's what the NIT is going to be all about.
Well, Texas fans, what you got to look forward to.
Do you think that's where they're headed?
Unless they do something special in the Big 12 tournament, yeah.
Now, do we see any chance of that happening?
Not much, man. I mean, they having Eric Davis out with, you know, while they investigate him, you know, and losing Andrew Jones, who's dealing with leukemia or lymphoma, whatever. I'm not sure which one of those L's.
It's not good.
It ain't good.
No.
But I don't see it. I don't see it. I think they are a team that could contend for the NIT title, but They're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna make the tournament.
I don't know if they're consistent enough to even do that.
That's true.
Because they're so capable of showing up for a game where they can't shoot and they can't do anything, and
they're horrible shooting, horrible. And I was like last night watching them play Kansas, and I get that they're undermanned, but they switched to a zone about 3 minutes into the game, and I was like, do you think that's what Texas thought they were paying for when they hired Shaka Smart? A guy who's going to run a zone defense, and it's very odd to me. But I don't know. I think it's unlikely, highly unlikely they make the tournament at this point.
I had another one from Bleacher Report: mid-major schools with Cinderella potential for the tournament.
Okay,
I'm going to give you the school, and you give me a maybe, yes, or NFW.
A maybe, yes, or NFW on
as winning a game in the tournament.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Winning a game,
maybe two, if everything goes right. Pretty sure I know your answer on the first one, Belmont.
Dude, I don't know if Belmont's making the tournament. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Murray State wins the OVC tournament and Belmont doesn't get in at large.
How about Ryder?
That wouldn't shock me.
Okay. How about Vermont?
Vermont absolutely wouldn't shock me. They're probably the most likely.
How about the Buffalo Bulls?
I would say probably not.
How about the New Mexico State Aggies?
They're a possibility too. They're pretty good. You're gonna say another team that I like here in a minute. I forgot about
The South Dakota State Jackrabbits.
Nope, not them. No.
The Louisiana Raging Cajuns.
Yes, to them. I've talked about them a lot. They've been a team I've been riding. They're just dominant in the Sun Belt's not a great conference, but they have four or five guys on that team who have transferred in from high major colleges.
BYU, Missouri, USC, and South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean they've got some legit high major talent on that squad. That's a good team.
So there's your seven. So not a bad list. I mean, there wasn't too many. You just said, no bleeping way, right?
Yeah.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And somebody says, is there any chance you guys are going to make an audiobook about playing poker? I would say no.
No. We talked about it, and there's guys who are way better at poker and way smarter than us who have written books better than what we could write.
Could we communicate it better? Probably, but I don't think it would sell very well for the effort. And frankly, a lot of things – I mean, I can share tidbits about poker, but I don't feel like I can – a guy like Matt Dean could teach poker as well as anybody I've ever been around to all levels of players. But, you know, I don't feel like I would – I can give you occasional insight on stuff, and I think AJ can too, but as far as a full-length instructional manual, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll get drunk one night and change my mind. AJ, can I get your take on Red Raider basketball? I haven't been able to hear it so far this season. We've talked about them a lot, but recently we didn't get a chance to break down a lot of the stuff you wrote. But they're going the wrong way.
I think their legs are gone. I think they're tired. I think they've sort of hit a wall. And for the longest time, they couldn't find a secondary scoring source after Keenan Evans. And Keenan Evans has been bad the last couple games. He's made one shot in each of the last two games. That ain't going to get it done for Texas Tech. And they're a team
Is he healthy?
I think so. I mean, he's playing his minutes.
Yeah.
The other problem is it's a team who all season long they were winning games with defense and suddenly they're not playing defense. So they're a team I liked a lot 3-4 weeks ago. Now, not so much.
All right. We're going to take a break. Have a guest scheduled next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. And all right, so we didn't go out and talk to Garth Brooks. I think we have a better Brooks. How's that?
Okay.
Our next guest was on Shark Tank. That's pretty good. He has a product that I think the Blitzers are going to love. A real nice feature on Culture Map on Brooks Powell, who's the founder of Thrive Plus. And we're not going to call it a hangover cure. I think you call it, what, vitamins for alcohol? Is that how you refer to it?
That's correct, guys. We like to call it a vitamin for alcohol. It is effective for hangovers, but it's somewhere between a vitamin for people who drink and hangovers.
All right. Does it work for people who drink a lot? I'm asking for a friend here.
Yeah, of course it wouldn't be you, obviously. So when we actually did a human study for our now granted patent, the average drinks consumed during that study was 10 drinks per person. And the average reduction in symptoms is about 50 percentage points. So if someone would have felt like a 3 out of 10 the next day, with our product, they would have felt like an 8 out of 10. So a 50 percentage point difference. And if they would have felt like, you know, a 7 out of 10, then they would have, you know, felt fine the next day.
Okay, 10 drinks. I can do that. I can take that challenge. I think I can handle that.
Which for the record, though, we don't condone excessive drinking. It was just for the human study, you had to have a certain amount of, basically, people had to make sure that they felt bad the next day so that you'd be able to know how much efficacy it actually has, you know?
Brooks Powell is our guest, was on Shark Tank, and Brooks is what we would call a smart. He went to Princeton. He's 24 years old. He's already got a company that's thriving. What was it like being on there with Mark Cuban, and what was it like doing Shark Tank?
Yeah, it was a blast. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in the filming of the show that you wouldn't expect. So, for example, we actually filmed for probably a little bit over an hour, and then they cut the segment down to, you know, somewhere between 8 and 12 minutes. So there's a lot that's sort of happening while you're doing it. So there's kind of a big battle between me and Mark Cuban and convincing him on the science that you don't really get to see in the way they cut the episode.
Was that the part that you wish would have aired? Was you and him getting into it?
Yeah, so instead what they did is they aired a bit more of him and the star of Real Housewives of New York, Bethany Frankel, getting into it.
With something like this, do you think from a TV perspective, I mean, obviously, if you start breaking down the science too much, is that going to turn off the audience? Or do they just want to hear, hey, if you take this, you're not going to be as hungover, you're going to feel better? But from your perspective, wouldn't you like to tell more about the science of it and how you got to it?
Exactly. I mean, the thing is, right, is that anything that's sort of, you know, claiming to be a vitamin for alcohol or a hangover cure, you know, people are naturally not going to trust it. And so, you know, you have to kind of explain what your human study looked like. You have to explain that, you know, you have two Princeton biotech professors on your board and, you know, you do all of your R&D at a research lab at Princeton. You know, you have to explain how it actually works. And then people start going like, oh, okay, wow, you know, this isn't snake oil. This is something that's legit. And it makes sense why, you know, this product is growing so fast and, you know, why the company is growing like wildfire.
What kind of bump did you get from the appearance on the show?
Yeah, so prior to being on the show, we were probably doing about, you know, $20,000 a day. You know, that puts us about $7, $8 million annually, which for the record was about 100x growth from what we had the year before. And then when the show aired, we did $75,000 that first day. Yesterday, we did close to $100,000. And then today is on track with yesterday. So today we should do close to $100,000 as well.
Well, I'm looking at the website, and tell people how they can get there. It's decidethrive.com, but pretty simple. I think I've got to give this a try.
Yeah, well, we'd love to send you samples. And we have a no questions asked refund guarantee. You don't even have to ship product back. So if you don't absolutely love it, you know, just keep the product and we'll refund you.
Well, I am definitely going to get on there and pick some up. It's decidethrive.com. And there's a really cool story on Culture Map that Stephen wrote about him. If you want to learn more about it, he's got some great detail in there. Brooks, I appreciate you spending some time with us, and good luck. And I think those guys are going to be really sorry that they didn't want to dump a bunch of money into this.
Yeah, well, I mean, the company's already grown about, you know, by about $20 million. So I actually, in the show, I ended the show saying, you know, they're going to, you know, wish that they would have invested in this. And, you know, we filmed back in September. So, you know, just 9 months later, we're already holding that true.
So you, like, tweet at Mark Cuban and say, hey, man, suck it, you blew it.
Yeah, we definitely did try to do that, but I think he's got... he's got some things going on with the Mavericks right now that
he's
are
busy,
probably
yeah.
a bigger worry for him.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, that's you got stuff going on in your company like that. I get it. So, hey, man, we appreciate the time, and like I said, I'm definitely going to check this out, and it seems like it's right up the Blitzer's alley. Once again, it's decidethrive.com, and go check out that story on Culture Map, man. It's got a lot of great detail. Brooks, appreciate the time, and glad you had fun with the show, and wish you continued success, man.
Cool. Well, thanks for having us on, and thanks for supporting local Houston entrepreneurs.
Absolutely, man. We're all about local here. All right. I mean, this stuff sounds awesome. I mean, go read that story on Culture Map that Steven wrote. But it's like if you're a 3 when you wake up and this makes you feel like an 8.
Hey, that's good.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
You know, this might work for us in Vegas, AJ.
Could.
Just saying. In 10 drinks, that's ballpark. Jong's the one who gets the hangovers. This ought to be more for you, Jong.
I don't know about that. I try to limit my drinking now. I'm an old.
He doesn't drink as much as me.
Yeah. You're an old.
I'm a mature.
You're a mature.
But Teresa is going on her bachelorette party in April, so
dude,
we might have
to
get some.
Yeah.
Is she going to have strippers and whores?
I have no idea.
You're not going to ask him, huh?
No.
I think he offered us some samples.
He did. Okay. He just texted me saying, thanks for having me on. Yeah. So I'll see if he can send us some samples.
I'd like to check that out, although I'm not drinking right now.
What are you, like drinking once a week?
Well, I'm taking the whole week off. And because I'm on this diet, I don't know whether I'm going to drink this weekend or not. But I may not. I may take 3 weeks off. I haven't decided yet.
You should try it. You should like drink a fifth of vodka or something.
Well, I'll wait. I'll wait until I'm drinking again. But every now and then, plus, like I said, I'm doing this program. But the other thing is you have to take a week or two off every now and then just to prove to yourself you're not an alcoholic. And that's otherwise, you don't really know, right?
You never know.
So
that was part of what my month off was. And I was like, oh, I could just have one. And then I was like, that's exactly what an alcoholic would
say. Right, right. And I'm actually toying with the idea of all of March off.
Okay.
In fact, that's probably going to happen. So if that does happen, then yeah, I might have a couple tonight. But you know, I've already gone 4 days, so I might as well just keep rolling with it. But my goal is to lose a whole heck of a bunch of weight before we get to April.
There
so that means we won't be drinking at any of the events that we're at over the next month.
No.
But that's okay. That's okay. I am...
It's all about that long-term health, Fred.
Yeah, well, I had to make some changes. I think we all agree to that. And sometimes you have to have your doctor scare the living crap out of you.
Yeah.
And then once that happens and you get committed to it, and I'm actually excited and you know, I especially today, it's like the best I felt in forever. And, you know, the whole day I actually had time to get out and run and work out. And it was just, you know, it's the kind of stuff that I need to find more time for. And if you're less hungover from drinking the night before, it's easy. It's not really easy. That's been the biggest problem for me is I haven't been able to get to the gym as much because of Sports Map. And when you get a job like that, then... You know, it does affect you, but you also have to, I've also realized that I have to make time to do these things. You have to, you know, it has to be part of my routine to at least get out and run 3 miles each day or get to the gym, one or the other. And that's what I'm working on, man. But I'm going to, you know, have a relapse. What happened to all that weather we were supposed to have today? I thought it was supposed to rain like crazy. Did I miss something?
I don't know. It rained a little this morning.
All right. Well, we are going to take a very quick break. We only got one segment left. Is that right? Wow. Okay. Well, we got a Hey Man Bleep That when we come out. Okay,
yeah.
So we're supposed to have showers late tonight. But that's changed from thunderstorms. So, all right. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975. And Sports Map 94.1.
That.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis, 7 o'clock live from the gorgeous Gale. So that's coming up in 12 minutes. You can hear Glenn talking soccer. Albert Elis will be with him. Dynamo dude.
He's one of my favorites.
The Panther. He wears a Panther mask after they win.
Oh, okay.
At least we have a picture of that. I don't know if he does that all the time. But, all right. This is where we do Hey Man Bleep That. Do you guys have one?
I do.
All right. You want to go
Mine's
first?
Mine's a celebrity Hey Man
Ooh,
Bleep That.
Ooh, let's hear that.
Did you read about Heather Locklear?
Yes. God, I used to.
She used to be so hot.
Yeah.
I mean, she was one of the most beautiful women in the world back
yeah.
in the day.
Oh, yeah. That's not even up for debate.
She's not that anymore. Her looks have not. They've not stayed with her, at least in her mugshot, they haven't. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a shame.
I still would, simply because of the name.
Right.
But yeah.
She's 56.
Yeah.
I mean,
she probably
it doesn't last forever.
She can clean up and look decent still.
It doesn't last forever.
I know, believe me.
Did you guys know that Salisbury used to kind of date her?
What?
No,
this was
really?
Back in the USC days.
Did he get her?
I'm sure he did. Salisbury pulls
out. Yeah,
like
he told us. He told us when he was doing the show with Dave that he and her had a thing back in the day.
Man, good for him.
Yeah,
that's a nice one on the
that's a
mantle, right?
On the resume. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a good notch on the penis.
I wouldn't want to keep her around for the long haul, though.
No.
Because she's the kind of girl who might bite your nose off. And then when you call the cops because she tried to bite your nose off, the cop shows up and she kicks him in the balls and punched the lady cop that showed up, called her the C word. And then the third cop, she punched him too and called them all bleeping A-holes.
I'm against that.
She was taken to a hospital for evaluation, and then she was booked into jail on felony domestic violence.
Ooh, so her boyfriend gets a hashtag me too.
Hashtag him too.
Mm.
And then he, so this dude's got his nose bit off, and someone says that he was spotted driving slowly, and he blew over the limit, blew a .19. So now he's got to go. He's got his nose bitten off, and now he's got to go to jail.
.19, solid.
Not bad.
It's solid.
Oh, it's over double the limit.
Yeah. That'll get you driving
man,
slow.
That. Yeah. About getting your nose bit off, and I mean, that's too crazy.
All right. I occasionally like to do one about traffic in this city. But can I just tell you what happened since last night driving home? I'm trying to get on these where 610 and 59 come together. Yeah. I am getting in the middle lane because, and this is where people are, and I hate this because people are coming from both ends to try to get to the other side. So traffic's always bad there, right? I get in the lane and I'm almost completely in the lane and a chick on her phone coming from the left lane comes right over about to hit me because she's not paying any attention and she's just going to switch lanes without ever looking. So I slam on the brakes, almost get run over by the car behind me. So that was last night going home.
Ugh. Where was it?
Right off here, 610 and 59. Where
we
go through the Galleria thing and then, that ramp. And so you're on the far right and you need to get to the middle or the far left to get on 59. And she was in the far left and just boom, comes right over. So, okay. Hey, man, I'm not done.
That.
I'm not done.
Oh, that's my bad.
I just told you it's one of the things that happened. And then on the way in today, guy walking across Chimney Rock, nowhere near where he's supposed to be crossing the street, jaywalking, on his cell phone, not noticing that three cars are bearing down on him at about 40 miles an hour.
Oh, gosh.
And everybody slams on their brakes. And fortunately, if I'd been the front car, I would have pretended not to see him and just gone ahead and
taken him out.
Done the world a favor. And then the last one was, and this is my pet peeve, and this kind of leads me up to this. If you're in the middle lane and you zip over to the right lane right before a light and you're not turning right.
Oh, you're bad.
I hope you burn in hell.
Yeah.
My God.
Some people, they just see it as a shorter line.
Right.
and then they're not turned. Yeah, that's
and
that
so good. And what's worse, if you let them in, and then they don't turn, and the 10 cars behind them are trying to turn right. And it's especially bad downtown where the right lane is for turning right, period. You should never be in that lane unless you're turning at the next right. That's if there's more than one lane. It's that simple. So to you, I say, hey, man, fuck that.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention your little bike incident this weekend, too.
Yeah, I could have where...
We don't have enough time for all of it.
I don't think we do because John
Keep going.
All right. Well, okay, so Saturday I go out for a bike ride, and they have these nice new bike lanes downtown that are green, and they're cut off from the street, and they're very clearly marked as bike lanes. And we're zipping down there, you know, like because that's what they're there for, right?
Right.
And here's this man and his wife just wandering right in the middle of the bike lane, just walking right next to Discovery Green where you have 10 feet of sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's like walking in the middle of the bleeping street.
I will say this, though. Like, I don't always feel bad, like, when... people or cars are in the bike lane.
No, but you can't get in the bike lane with a car here. It's got.
Oh, it's separated?
It's a separated deal. It's a brand new lane, and it's very cool, but you can't walk there. It's the same as walking in the middle of the street.
Because you know what? One of my pet peeves is when people ride their bikes on busy streets and just act like it's no... like.
Well, yeah, I agree with
I'm
that.
I'm just going to go out and get my exercise on Westheimer.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
That's just dumb, dude.
And you don't need to go on Westheimer because there's bike lanes over on whatever that is, Briar Forest.
Yeah.
Those people, I'm with you, I hate them. But if you're a pedestrian, on the phone, by the way, I might throw that in there, you have no business in that lane. It is clearly marked. It'd be like walking in the middle of the street. And it happened to be Saturday, and there were a bunch of people on it. And I really wanted to run her over, AJ, but... I didn't want to damage my bike because she was a big.
Yeah.
But for once, I actually stopped and said something and just said,
hey, man, f*** that.
It's not what I said, but it works. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Great job, John. Great job, AJ. We shall do it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.